You're to be commended tonight to come out on the Lord's Day evening to study the Word of God and to praise Him and to magnify His holy name. Appreciate all who are here. If you take your Bible this evening and turn with me to 2 Timothy and the 4th chapter. I'm going to read two verses for our study. And the first verse is verse 9. In verse 9 of Paul's second epistle to Timothy, notice the statement made by the beloved Paul. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Then, if you will, drop down and look at the first line in verse 21. Do your utmost to come before winter. One cannot be touched when they read Paul's last epistle that he pens, and this time to a young evangelist that he calls his son in the faith. And no doubt they had a special bond and relationship because they worked together and they loved one another and they loved the Lord. And you read in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter as Paul is bringing his letter to a close and he exhorts the young preacher, preach the word in season and out of season. And he tells that young man never to be ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then he speaks about his death. He talks about that he's already being poured all out as a drink offering and that the time of his departure is at hand. He recognizes that he's in that Roman prison and he realizes it won't be long till Nero demands his life. So he makes an appeal to this young man, Timothy, to come to him quickly. And I want us to think about several things in our study tonight. The first thing I want us to think about is that request made by Paul to come before winter. When we read these words, we need to stop and consider just at this time, how many friends did Paul have? No doubt there were several who were about doing the work in other places, but there were very few that Paul could depend on at that time. He said, Luke is with me, and there were others who would come and visit him. But at this time, he wanted the presence of his beloved Timothy. He wanted that young man to be with him. And notice if you know in your Bible that when Paul writes, he did not always have a lot to stand up with him. But Timothy was one who would stand with him. And Paul said, Timothy, I want to see you. Come quickly. And now he does ask Timothy to stop and bring some things. He said, bring the parchments. There Paul is, a student to the very end. He said, bring my cloak. Winter's coming on. I'm going to be cold in this prison cell, in this damp dungeon. Bring that. But most of all, Timothy, my request is that you come. I want to see your face one last time. And so here is Paul in prison facing death, and he needs a friend. He needs someone who he's close to, who loves him, who will be there with him. I've often thought about the urgency. He said, do your utmost to come before winter. He said, come quickly. And I hear urgency in those two statements. But I've often thought about what did Timothy do? You know, the divine record never states. Timothy could have been a young man that said, you know, I'm busy in Ephesus right now. And if I leave, the work might crumble. I'll just have to come later, Paul. I don't have time to leave what I'm doing now to come, but I'll come in the springtime. But you know, my friend, had he waited, I doubt he would ever saw Paul again. I've often to believe in my own mind, Timothy was the type of young man that heeded the call of Paul because he always seemed to do likewise other times Paul made a request of him. When Paul would send him somewhere, Timothy was the young man that would stand up and say, I'll go. And when he would send him to the church at Corinth or other places that needed to be rebuked or needed to be exhorted, he would often send Timothy. And Timothy said, Paul, you can count on me. So I hope at this time Timothy saw the urgency to get there quickly. But there's a third thing we want to ask. Why before winter, Paul? Why the urgency? Why did Paul urge this young man to come to him before winter set in? Well, Paul knew that when winter set in, Timothy wouldn't be able to get there because they closed down the ships. They wouldn't sail in the wintertime. You remember not too long ago when Brother Guy was preaching and teaching from Acts 27, what happened? They had Easter when they left at a time they should not have left. And many times they would just close the ports because it would not be safe to sail. And Paul had a feeling if Timothy didn't come before winter, he would never see him again. He said, now you do your best, you do your utmost, come see me before winter. Ever thought about that plea? Have you ever just took your Bible and read 2 Timothy 4 and you see a lonely old man in a prison dungeon? Just there, cold, lonely, wanting to see a face that meant so much to him. And his urgent plea is, do it now. Come now. Don't wait, Timothy, or you'll never see me again. Come before winter. I thought about this as winter's about to set in here. And you know, I started to think about there's some things that you and I need to do right now that they're urgent matters. And sometimes I think that many times we just think that we can put off things that God has called an urgent matter. Take obedience. How many people have yet to obey the gospel, and it's not because of lack of knowledge. They've heard the gospel. They know they need to be baptized, or they know they need to be restored. They know the invitation of Jesus, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. They know John 4 when Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water of life drinks freely. And they know they need that eternal life. And they understand the call is urgent. And yet for some reason, some people delay an urgent call. Secondly, I think about young people. Young men and young ladies, you may not have a gray hair on your head or a wrinkle on your face, but I want you to understand what the Bible says. He, the Bible writes in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait till your old age. Don't wait till it's winter. In the spring of your life, you put God first. Because there's no guarantee you'll ever make it to old age. There's no guarantee for any of us that we'll see another day. And you know, my friend, the Bible has always said, had an urgent cry to obey God immediately. Today is the day of salvation. You never find where it says tomorrow. But that brings up something else. There are many decisions that need to be made now and not before and done before winter. There's work that needs to be done. Now you think about tonight in Athens, Alabama, I recognize there's a lot of congregation. But I want you to think of the opportunities open to us in Athens, and there's work to be done. And you know what some of us are doing? If we're not careful, we start putting off what we need to be doing now. I'll never forget one time. A man called and asked if I'd go talk to his brother. I said, that'd be fine. I said, should I go tonight? And he said, well, he may be resting. Why don't we do it tomorrow? And that night he died. And I want to tell you, that has bothered me ever since. And I've often thought about, my friend, there's some things that need to be done in this moment. We don't wait and say, we'll do it another day. It's an urgency to it. There is an urgent plea from Scripture. There used to be an old saying from preachers, repent the day before you die. And the people would say, we don't know when we'll die. And the preachers would say, then repent today. Today is the day. But I want to tell you something else. Not only is there work to be done, there's people to be forgiven. You know, there's some relationships that just need to be mended. There's ill feeling in our heart towards someone. Maybe they've been unkind. Maybe there's been something said. And you know what we need to do is go to them and try to restore that relationship. And can I say to the young men and young ladies, if you've said something to your parents that's been so unkind, now's the time to make that right. Sometimes I understand we say things we don't mean. And in a heat of the moment, in a moment of anger, we say something we don't mean. But once the word, they can't be taken back, but they can be blotted out. And what we need to do is to go and make it right. And we need to make those decisions now. I knew of one time of a young lady who was mother. They had a big fight. And I mean, they just had a knockdown, drag-out fuss. And that night, the mother was killed. And that young lady came to me and just was weeping and weeping. And I want to tell you something I learned right then. When you have odds with someone, make it right as soon as you possible. But that brings up something else. There's going to come a time that winter comes. There's going to come a time when the door of opportunity closes. You may not think that tonight, but I want to tell you, I've seen it many times in my life, and I'm sure Brother Guy has seen it many times in his life, where there have been people who were close to obeying the gospel, and they didn't do it, and they lost their soul. Death can be the end of winter. 9:27, it says, it is appointed for man to die, then the judgment. The end of the world could be winter, as we read this morning in 2 Peter 3:10. That the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the elements will be burned up with fire. You ever thought that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, when the Apostle Paul was writing, that how that moment will come? Notice what Paul said in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I think there's some people, then I'll be obedient. My friend, he said that happens at the snap of a finger, at the blink of an eye. So when do I make my life right? Now. And let me tell you something about that. You're not going to be perfect. I've had so many people say, well, I got my life right. You make your life right is by obedience. The gospel of Jesus Christ, and then taking His word and trying to follow. And you're not going to do it perfectly. You're going to fall. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to sin. We all do. And anyone who says, if somebody needs to look at their pride and then look at their honesty. But I can go to the blood of God. I can pray to my God and He'll blot out that sin if I truly repent. One last thought and the lesson's yours. And I want you to think about this. You look in Acts 24 at Felix. It said, come at a more convenient time. And you know, according to the divine record, that man never did obey the gospel. I never see where he obeyed the gospel in Acts 24:25. And I think of Acts 26:28, where Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And you know, the divine record never says where Agrippa obeyed the gospel. Isn't it sad? They had opportunity, but then winter set in, and they lost their soul. In your life, how zealous are we? Or have we allowed winter to set into our soul? Do we pray like we should? Do we study like we should? Do we take advantage of opportunity? I want to tell you, that is the secret God has given us. Take advantage of the opportunities given to us, because when winter comes, opportunity cease. Could you imagine if Timothy showed up and they said, Timothy, they've already taken Paul and beheaded him. Every day he looked out the window for you, hoping you would come. But you delayed. And because of your delay, he never got to see it. He always said he wanted to see it. And Timothy, he said he wanted us to tell you he loved you. Could you imagine how he'd have felt? Because he didn't take an opportunity to do what Paul asked. Can you imagine in the judgment hearing, depart from me, I never knew you, because you didn't take an opportunity to do what the Lord commanded. I say that with all the love of God in my heart. Do so. While you have opportunity, as together we stand.